This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Did you hear what Rosenberg said?
I don't want to be Jake Tapper.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Derrick Henry and the Purple Birds. That's right. Oh, no.
Oh, no. What happened?
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey, everyone. Good evening, and welcome to ENN on this, a Wednesday evening, hump day. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
You look like LBJ in the days before death.
And good evening to Don.
I think it looks terrible.
You are a very, very handsome man. He's going through a midlife crisis, I think.
And good evening to Carlin.
I'm going to complain about judging a quarterback. That was my wife texting me.
Well, everyone, we've been waiting all day, Chris. We have not heard from the big fella. Have you seen Don's hair today?
I have. It's spectacular.
Thank you.
Really?
I do. I love it. And I frankly, I thought the Doobie Brothers comparison was perfect because I could absolutely see Don playing bass this summer at Jones Beach. Could you not see that for the Doobie Brothers? I mean, it's and it's not a knock. I think it looks great. I wish I could grow hair like that. I would trade gray for bald any day of the week. Not well said either. I don't know.
Yeah, I you might want to lay out, Chris, for the next 15, 20 minutes.
All right, I'll see you guys at 6:30.
Listen, I'm not saying that as a bald man, you don't have any, you know, there's no jealousy that exists because Don's able to grow his hair out. But the question goes beyond that. And it's about what does it do for Don. And I felt that when he had the little bit extra, that sort of Melrose extra, it really fit the hockey Don. But now it's crossing into an area of, it's just a totally different life altogether.
See,
it's a life that didn't go well.
Here's what I feel like you're missing in this. This is the ultimate Don. This is Don doesn't care and never has about what anybody else thinks. Don's going to do what makes Don and Nancy and his children happy. And I think it looks great. I'd let it go back to your waist.
No, I'm going to let it. I'm not getting it cut.
Yeah.
Now, Gigi, of course, former member of TMKS before
of
going
course.
Into bigger and better things, winning Emmys like ridiculous amounts. She responded with, oh, my. What do you think she meant by that?
I think she's firmly where I am. She might not say it.
But that sounds like an alarming oh, my.
Yeah. I want to ask Andrew how he feels about the hair, but I feel that he won't tell the truth.
You think he's afraid of Don?
I just think that there's this history because Andrew once kept the list of all the things Don used to say wrong. I think he feels bad about ever taking a shot at Don.
Please make no mistake with this. My only problem with Andrew making the list of all the words that I said incorrectly is with not including me. Like it was kept from me, which then made it seem like you were making fun of me.
Yeah, that's
if I knew right. about the list, I would have fun with it.
You'd like to be in on the joke as opposed
right.
to the butt
when
of the
when
joke.
When there's a joke going on and you're not aware the joke's going on, that's the thing that's going to anger you.
That's what's hurtful.
As someone that has lived that for the majority of my life, yes, I
want to
know.
Now, we're good. Andrew cleared that up and all that, and I've referred to that list many times before. So, Andrew, with full feeling and honesty, what do you think of the hair?
I wouldn't do it for myself, but I think you pull it off, so I got no problem with it.
Oh.
That is a gutless, gutless pathetic answer.
That's how I feel.
Yeah. It's just not an answer.
Looking at the picture again.
Go ahead.
Let me ask this question that I may not have noticed. Don, you got a little two-car garage going on in the front? Is it you're getting some bald spots and
no,
a widow's peak?
I think it's just because I'm slicking. I thought the same thing when I looked at that picture.
Yeah.
No, it's because I'm putting some product in to kind of keep it down. Mm-hmm. So, no, I'm not losing any hair, thank God.
When this whole pandemic thing's over with, I'd really like to get in there and get a good look at what's going on.
Yeah, I think, okay, yeah, well, just examine.
We'll work on that. The NFL owners want to get a good look at every play that happens in the NFL, and there are a couple of new rules that have come into play starting, well, today, including one that's going to expand the influence of replay officials. And it's a little complicated to understand exactly what this authority does. But it's basically for the replay officials who sit in the press box of each stadium and gives them the authority to consult with referees on certain specific objective aspects of a play when clear and obvious video evidence is present. So what it sounds like here is that with specific plays, catches, possession, intercepted passes, location of the ball relative to the boundary, whether a player is down by contact. Chris, you guys tell me what you think. It seems to me the goal here was, can we add another layer where on these important plays, if something really glaring is there and it's already being reviewed, can the replay official just jump in and volunteer an opinion? And that's what it sounds like we're getting here. Is that how you take this?
I don't know if I would take it quite that way, because in college football, which, I mean, we all know, college football games are 3.5 to 4 hours.
Yeah, I mean,
and it's too much.
Yeah, it's cricket, Jays.
It is. It could take 4 days. And the problem with it is, Peter, in theory, they actually look at every single play above, and if there's something to look at beyond that, they buzz down.
Right.
You know, I think that's overkill. I think that's over. Like, they have everything in college football. They have that. They have the challenge, which nobody ever uses, but they still have it. I think we're getting into overkill territory.
Yeah, I don't know how anybody benefits from having more replay. We should be looking at ways of having less replay, because it just never stops. Make this reviewable. Well, then this should be reviewable. And the next thing you know, every close play, and you're just going to get bogged down. Right? I see it in the NHL. They added the goaltender interference. They added the offside. And now, and I know all these plays are big now, and there's gambling, and everybody wants to get it right. But anytime you're sitting there for 10 minutes going over a replay, if it's that close, that's not what replay was supposed to be there for. It's supposed to erase the egregious mistake. But, well, we already have it, so why don't we replay if his foot came off the bag by a fraction of an inch? Let's replay if the skate is still touching the blue. Did he touch the gold? And it really just bogs it down. We're not noticing as much because there isn't any fans in the stands. But when you got a full building and the game's tied at 1 or it's tied at 7 and then you take 10 minutes to replay something, and then the crowd starts to boo and then the energy's out of the building and the game gets delayed, why is that any good?
It's not.
My hope, did you guys understand what my hope was? My hope is just that if you're going to do replay, it seems like there are these situations in which they do a replay and it's still being missed. And I'm like, why isn't there one clear person who's watching all the TV angles and saying, guys, you're getting this wrong?
Right.
And my hope is that's what this is for.
Like in the Conforto situation. Like the only
exactly.
thing reviewable is whether it hit him. Somebody can look at the replay and go, it was a strike, you're out. Like that kind of stuff.
That's what I'm hoping this is for.
And yeah, I think it's the problem with your idea is that it makes entirely too much sense.
Right. No, that would actually really improve things.
Right. And that's not going to happen. They have to be so specific in everything that, just operate inside of common sense of something that should be reviewed and let somebody decide whether it should be reviewed before the next snap.
Yesterday, the Las Vegas Raiders put out a tweet that people questioned and thought was not worded the best way when they tried to show support of the verdict in the Derek Chauvin trial and wrote, I can breathe, 4/20/21. And a lot of people really roasted the Raiders for this. But actually the Floyd family came out, specifically George Floyd's brother, and issued a statement thanking the Raiders for showing their support. And I sort of appreciated the sentiment because, I mean, while it was a poorly constructed tweet, I don't think that was the way to go there. I imagine it appears their heart was in the right place, so I thought
right.
It was nice. don't know if the Floyd family happened to be Raiders fans or something, but they weighed in.
But this is what happens with social media, is that you want to participate, right? You want to be able to show your support. And then you get evaluated on whether you're showing enough support, right? Did you say the right thing in your support? When you're right, you can't. The sentiment was they were showing support. I'm seeing a lot of criticism, like in the NHL issued a statement that did, but they didn't mention Floyd's name, so they got ripped for that. The Minnesota Wild,
intent is there,
but the intent's
yes.
This. But
I know that's
sometimes
the weird
it's
part.
It's just not enough, right? It's not like you're issuing a statement. It's just, listen, you have so many characters. You know, could you have gone a little far? Now you'll say, well, this one mentioned his name, or this one had three paragraphs. This one only had one sentence. I think everybody's heart was in the right place, right?
Yeah, I think so. The only problem is when you have these teams and they have social media people, like that's got to, when it's a day like yesterday, that's got to go through two or three or four layers before it gets approved. That's all. And right. I feel like that's just something, they just leave some of the social media people on their own sometimes, and that's not great.
I know, that's one of the things that sort of amazes me about teams in general. They make these team statements, and I'm like, this was an intern.
Yeah.
But no excuse, right? I mean, it's still representing your organization, so somebody should be overseeing that. Before we hit send, run it up the pole, especially when it's something as sensitive as this issue. You know what I found, too? Very interesting on Twitter. And I wonder how you thought about it. When I would search anything about the trial, it would be listed under politics. How is that listed under politics? It should be listed under news. Right? You look at Twitter. I don't know if I was talking about it with Andrew. If you went to Twitter and you searched anything about the trial, it was listed under politics. We got to get out of that, guys. That was news.
I mean, but here's the problem. We operate in a world now where when you watch cable news in particular, even if you agree with the slant of the network you're watching, don't you just miss someone who just does news down the line? Like, nothing is news. I mean, if you watch PBS NewsHour, I believe, or if you watch BBC, you know, then maybe you can find actual news.
I don't want to be Jake Tapper.
I don't. I mean, on CNN, on all of them, though, it's just a rotation of talking heads. It's like, don't get me wrong, I love First Take as much as the next guy. Does it have to be every news channel? That's all it is. We live in a world where the news is First Take. And no one's as good as Stephen A.
One of my favorite movies, and it's one of the reasons I'm in this business, because it motivated me to get more involved in my college radio station and everything else, was Broadcast News.
I knew you were going there.
Love that movie.
Awesome.
And there's a scene in the movie where Tom, who's trying to be the lead anchor, gets thrown in on a weekend situation, and he gets thrown to the wolves, and he does a great job. And it's about some Iraq plane or an Iran plane was going to get shot down or something like that. And then it turned out that it ended up being nothing. And he says at the end of the newscast, looks like we're all going to be okay. And his boss is in the booth going, well, who cares what you think? Like, it's like, that's the way it's supposed to be. You're not supposed to show emotion. You're not supposed to give opinion. You're supposed to just give me the news, and then I'm supposed to sort it all out. But that's not the way it is anymore. You show the emotion, and you show the side of what's right and wrong. And even though to us, we think it's clear what's the right side or the wrong side, not everybody thinks the same way, especially in this country. So it would be refreshing, right, Peter, to just watch the news and just hear it given to you. And then you decide how you feel about it.
It's a crazy thought. Antonio Brown has settled his dispute with his ex-trainer, Brittany Taylor. Taylor's attorney announced the resolution. She had sued Antonio Brown back in 2019, accusing him of sexual assault. A settlement was reached, but per the agreement, no terms can be disclosed, a source told ESPN's Jenna Lane. Brown is currently a free agent. He played for the Bucks last season. Why is he not re-signed to the Bucks? I thought they brought everyone back.
He may still be. Who knows? You know,
I wonder if they were waiting for this. Guys, how crazy is it? Seattle decides to give Alden Smith a shot, what, 3 days ago?
I can't get over this.
The day after Seattle decides to give Alden Smith a contract, he's wanted for battery. A warrant had been issued, and now he has turned himself in with this battery charge in New Orleans. I turned himself in last night. He was booked and released on $25,000 bond. He's accused, I believe, of choking someone?
Yeah.
So, can we just move on from Alden Smith already in the league? I mean, how many chances are you going to get?
Now, I understand the difference, but it's interesting how much you dive into the life of a potential draft pick. No stone is left unturned.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't.
You can sign anybody as a free agent.
I may not draft somebody because he's not competitive enough at rock, paper, scissors, but I am going to give Alden Smith another chance.
I know. We really have to think about this guy because even though he was a captain his sophomore year, his junior year, we're not sure how his teammates felt about him as a friend. Now, this guy gets arrested every 3 weeks, but he plays pretty good D-line.
He got
pretty good. Like, is Alden Smith the greatest player who ever lived? Is no team complete without Alden Smith?
I wish
he must be freaky good for them to keep going back to him over and over again.
I that's the thing. I don't see that. I don't think he's freaky good, but it doesn't even, like, it's so absurd. It's so absurd what we get to when, especially right around now with draft time. It's, you know, let me see how I can agitate somebody and ask them and just if they get ticked off at a question I'm going to ask, I'm not going to draft them. But, hey, you got 5 or 6 or 7 assault cases against you. Let's give you another shot.
Yeah, I'd like to believe that these first 3 or 4 assault cases were all just a case of kids being kids.
Oh, wrong place, wrong time. It happens, please.
Over and over and over and over again. Now, you guys hearing the stuff about DeVonta Smith? Speaking of leave no stone unturned.
Educate me. I did not.
Well, guys, get ready. Get ready. The word is that DeVonta Smith may not, in fact, weigh 170 pounds.
Oh, no.
People are reporting he weighs 166 pounds. Eh?
No.
Eh?
I'm going to tell you why that's a big deal.
Go ahead.
All right. I don't have the specific stat, but I was telling Andrew the other day that somebody had tweeted out that, like, over the last, like, since 1997, there's only been one wide receiver to have over 1,000 yards receiving or lead the league in receiving that weighed less than 170 pounds.
Who was it?
Do you remember who it was, Andrew? It was like...
I don't.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to stump anybody. But
you just ruined the whole show.
Screeching halt.
Since 1997, there has not been one. So that's why they're not going to draft him, because now he's under 170 pounds, which means he won't lead the league in receiving. Why would I take him in the first round?
Let me tell you something. DeVonta Smith will be sprinting past people. He is a competitive SOB. Like, you want competitive, he'll beat you up in rock, paper, scissors. He will.
Oh, crush
him. Hey, even though the Giants went and got receivers, I wouldn't mind if they picked him up at 11.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And he is an outside guy, too, even though he's that small. He is. I bet you he's going to be really, really good.
But there's certain standards with wide receivers, right? You want to be – we talked about it, Peter, right? Like, who would you rather have, Julio Jones or Odell Beckham? Like, in both in their prime, you'd always take Jones because he's bigger.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the feeling is that the diminutive ones get hurt a little bit more. So I get it, but, you know, sometimes you get special players that you just you can't pass up.
Yeah, listen, I think he's one of those guys. I honestly do.
Well, you guys know me. I believe no player under 170 should play in the National Football League.
It's well, you've always said that.
You know that about me as a person.
Yeah.
I feel very strongly.
I'd call it a credo.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Andrew, four more clubs out of the Super League. Are you feeling good? Is the Super League completely dead yet?
It's over. I don't know if it's officially over, but it's over. They can't go forward with
bag it, losers.
Yep.
Go this great near international nightmare has come to an end.
Well, just Liverpool basically apologized today, right?
Pretty much all of the teams that have backed out so far have announced some kind of apology. Yeah.
By the way, that's hilarious. How do you apologize for this? Like you didn't know what it was in the first place?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Another $400 million a club.
That's classic if I offended anyone.
Oh, my apology. God.
Because they had every intention of doing this if people didn't react the way they did.
Of course.
Oh, my God.
That'll do it for ENN on this Wednesday evening. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, if I needed anybody in the world to set me up for this big Knick game tonight, it's Chris Carl.
Thank you. And that's what I intend to do.
8 o'clock tip, 7:30 pre, right here, Knicks Hawks battle for fourth, and Carlin's leading you up right till that.
And I'm going to do it shirtless.
All right.
That's right.
And we'll look on the internet to see those pictures. Back with you again tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll give money as usual on the Michael Kay Show, 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.